Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Good morning and welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's March the 29th, a beautiful day in Greenville, South Carolina. It's 44 degrees right now, but it's going to get all the way up to 77 today. It's going to be a beautiful, sunny spring day. The only thing to watch out for is we still have a lot of runoff from that storm that hit us over the weekend. And they're saying that there's a flood watch in effect both in Greenville and Spartanburg counties. So be careful when you're driving out there. You might have some closures and you might also see some standing water actually rising on the roadway surface. So be careful as you're going to work. But otherwise, just a beautiful day up ahead. I want to remind folks that there is the 2005 Southern History Conference, which is going to occur April 4th through 7th. 2005 at a Spanish-speaking church at 211 White Oak Road. That's just off of North Pleasantburg Drive, which is not too far from Wade Hampton Boulevard here in Greenville, South Carolina. There's going to be a great lineup of speakers, including Pastor John Weaver, a great Christian Reconstructionist Baptist, of all things, who's going to be speaking at 7:45 p.m. each evening, April 4th through the 7th, on topics such as George Washington's Klan, Who Are the Rebels, The Palmyra Massacre, The Christian Character of Robert E. Lee. Then every night, starting at 7, you'll have different speakers. First would be Pastor Carl Robbins, who'll be talking about Arl Dabney, the social conservative. Tuesday night, you'll have Dr. Morton Smith from Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary talking about the influence of Benjamin Morgan Palmer on the Confederate cause. And then Wednesday, Dr. Joseph Piper, the president of that seminar, will be talking about the character of Stonewall Jackson. Thursday, Dr. Nick Wilborn will be talking about the life and ministry of John L. Girardeau for 45 minutes at 7 o'clock. So it should be a great conference. We will be trying to air on the Tyranny Response Network all of the presentations after the fact the next day for those of you who can't possibly make it. But why not go? Admission is free. At least you can try to make one or two of them. It's going to be a great meeting, and we hope that you can all attend the 2005 Southern History Conference. I'd also like to make a plug this morning for our favorite newspaper in town, the Times Examiner. Anybody who wants to know about the true conservative or libertarian viewpoint should read the Times Examiner. Now, I know don't be shocked when you see a few neoconservatives along the line in this paper as well. It's a great paper full of columnists that you can appreciate, not only yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, and other local favorites like Ben Graydon and Dr. Stephen Yates. You also have nationally known folks such as Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Charlie Reese, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Pat Buchanan. Worthwhile getting a hold of the copy of this newspaper. And guess what? You can have it sent to you on a weekly basis for only $20 a year in-state, $22 a year out-of-state. Now, that price goes up on April 1st. That's this Friday. The price goes up to $27 and $25, depending on if you're in or out-of-state. Take advantage by calling 864-268-0576. Go ahead and give Bob Dill a call. It's 864-268-0576 and get a subscription to the Times Examiner and have it sent to your house every week. Once again, that phone number, 864-268-0576. The email address is thetimesexaminer@myexcel.com. You can one of the things I really like to promote here on the show is that you read my column every week and then think about the things that are written in there and perhaps even call the show or send us an email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net. I just so happen to be running a series in the Times Examiner, a 7-part series on Christian views on rebellion. Now, in the past, we've had other great series or even solo articles, I think, for the Christian Worldview program. We've discussed hard issues such as the lottery, immigration, the difference between the government and the state, whether government should send financial aid or government aid to tsunami victims. And this morning, by the way, we have just another quake over there, by the way, in Indonesia, another 8.7. Doesn't look like there's a tidal wave or a tsunami going to be generated, but it's has already killed 1,000 people just from the shaking alone. At any rate, some great topics have been discussed in the Times Examiner, and the current one is no less important for the Christian worldview. What do we think about civil disobedience as Christians? When should it be applied? How should it be applied? When are we prudent to use it? Or should we not use it at all? Some Christians believe that we should not ever disobey the state unless they tell us to do a few certain specified things, such as bow down to an idol or stop preaching the gospel. Well, these are interesting topics for discussion from the Christian worldview, and we hope that you'll take advantage of reading the articles in the Times Examiner that I have there and commenting on them here on the show. The whole purpose of this is to help you think better, to help promote the truth, and to take Christians away from following after the Pied Piper or the Republican Party, frankly, which just is not going to fulfill their goals and objectives. Christians have been gullible as a group, especially the so-called religious right, and have followed en masse after people that just do not serve their purposes. As many in the Constitution Party have pointed out so well, the Christians have just followed after people that give lip service to Christian principles, but in fact don't do much at all in terms of really helping Christians out. So, at any rate, not only Christians, by the way, if you're listening to the show and you're not a Christian, don't think we're not concerned about you, too. We are. The people that the religious right have been supporting have not been helping anyone on the cause for liberty and a liberty basis. People have not been been given more freedoms. They've been given less freedom by people like George Bush or by the current, even by the appointed people who are appointed by Republicans, like Sandra Day O'Connor, who's now in favor of having the United Nations rule over the Supreme Court of the United States. These people are just class one traitors, as far as I'm concerned, and should all be impeached, removed from office. It may also interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom. And a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off, and exactly what we do here at Christian Worldview as well. We're very pleased to be able to bring you fine programming, the truth, things that you don't hear on other networks. So sad to see what's happening this morning once again to Terri Schiavo. I'm sure she's suffering more and more. Being starved to death is not necessarily a nice way to die. So, if you have your choice of dying, what means to die, it's probably not one of the top choices. Probably no good way to die. Although I hear that drowning is better than being burned, at least. But at any rate, silly discussion. Why are we killing this woman? Very frustrating sort of thing that's happening here in America. But on the other hand, folks, think about it. There are 4,000 babies, unborn children, that are being going to be killed today, that were killed yesterday. That's the average number of children that are unborn children that are slaughtered every day in the mother's womb in America, and yet basically no one speaks up for them and does any good at any rate. Not even George W. Bush, believe it or not. Abortion could be stopped right now by simply using the military, by using an executive order to put a halt to the destruction of life. The government should be there to preserve and protect life, and it does not do that. Executive is in violation of the Constitution, a violation of the principles of the Declaration on account of this. And the same thing could be done with Terri Schiavo. There's no reason even the local county sheriff down there couldn't just go in and take her out of where she's at and put her somewhere else and put her feeding tube back in her. So what a sad state of affairs today that we've come to this in the world. At any rate, we have a couple of other interesting stories that have come up today. I wanted to go ahead and get to those. But before we do so, we're coming up to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're providing that for you here this morning on Christian Worldview. Lots of little stories coming up today. The IRS is rearing up its ugly head, and we're not going to speak too much about them this morning. But just to note that we have a story that's come out that the IRS may consider eBay sales taxable income. Many people, of course, have been using eBay to make some money, to earn their living. And, of course, it's a business of cash where you buy and sell things, and you don't have the problem of having to file tax returns, unless you're a divine writer and scour the code to find out anything you might think you're liable for and go ahead and turn it in and feel guilty if you don't report every penny on a 1040 confession form. But nevertheless, there are some folks out there who simply use eBay as a means to make income. People who are especially having to work at home, single mothers, whatnot, have been using this. Well, now the IRS is about to crack down and try to harass people there. That story's come out today. So just another little chink in the Liberty armor. We'll be watching that story as things go along. Also, another story for interest today, actually happened over the weekend. I saw on Fox News, thought there might be some interest in talking about it from a Christian worldview perspective. It says that wife cheats on husband and gets $40 million in divorce. Bridgeport, Connecticut, a judge has awarded the former wife of a multimillionaire businessman a divorce settlement worth more than $40 million, even though she admitted having affairs with her rock climbing guide and a man she met on a flight to China. In addition to $2.24 million payment, Susan Sawson will keep the couple's $3.6 million Manhattan apartment, $2 million Utah ski house, and $800,000 home in Wallkill, New York. But she has to vacate the couple's two mansions in Connecticut and three desert properties in Arizona. Well, what's interesting about this, of course, is that here you have someone who is clearly the guilty party. Well, according to the news story, we don't know the other side, obviously, but according to what we can tell from the news, the guilty party, and yet is the government really upholding the law of God in regard to this? Now, some people would say, from the theonomic perspective, well, of course not. We've got a corrupt government. It's evil. But the divine rider really has to be upset by this. As its government is just does not seem to be doing the right thing by slamming this man after his wife goes and behaves this way. Now There may be other things behind the scenes, and certainly the story seems to indicate that. For instance, I think he met her while she was still married to somebody else and began having some sort of relationship with her then. So he should have known better, to say the least. But still, given the facts as they were, assume they both repented from that previous issue, and all of a sudden this thing happened, what would be the proper response of a court? Now, why is this important from the Christian worldview? Well, once again, if you believe that government is there to uphold the law of God in the world, this is probably a shameful thing that's happened. On the other side of that, we have to consider some of the ramifications for things like covenant marriage. Covenant marriage is a way to get married without using a marriage license. You have without the state any documentation or license to become married, and that's the way it always was intended by God. The state was never involved in the scriptures or for thousands of years, really, until the late 1920s or early 30s in the United States did we really license marriages, at least between in the same in general. Now, there was interracial licenses granted 50 or 100 years before that, but at any rate. Some people say, well, how about getting divorced if you have a marriage license? Well, we can rely on the courts to do that for us. The courts will help people get people divorced even though they have a marriage covenant. This is a concern that comes up. Well, here we have a case of looking at the court and seeing how it has gone awry, in my view, that the person who causes all the grief in a marriage is actually rewarded for doing so. And why? Because courts today don't really care about the moral implications of actions of people in the marriage. They aren't, and we all know this, we've heard this for a long time before, that courts are not concerned about the facts or about who's guilty or wrong or right or wrong. They certainly they have their main concern over the state property, that is the children of the marriage, licensed marriage especially. And those are the ones they're interested in dealing with. At any rate, interesting story, something to think about here on Christian Worldview. We'll be happy if you can think about that a bit and give us a call and give us your opinions on what you think about this wife getting this huge settlement from the husband after she went and philandered and did all these other things that she should not be doing. Okay, we have also a couple of other interesting things happening today on Christian Worldview, because Chuck Baldwin has written a comment on Terri Schiavo saying that she isn't the only one dying. He says, so is Lady Liberty. By the way, Chuck Baldwin, I spoke to him yesterday on the phone. Nice man. Pastor Chuck is interested in being a guest on Christian Worldview at some point. Maybe as soon early as next week. Our TRN staff are working on having him be on our show. He'll be an interesting guy to listen to say the least. He'll be even considering putting on a recorded broadcast on the Tyranny Response Network, from what I understand. Some of the folks at TRN are working on bringing him aboard. Anyway, Chuck writes, how is it possible? How could it happen in the United States of America? We could understand this if it happened in Nazi Germany or in Stalin's Russia or Mao's China, but how could it happen in America? How can a nation whose core principles protect the rights of life and liberty for every citizen allow, even condone, a woman to be slowly and painfully starved to death? This is beyond comprehension. There are so many elements of this story that it is very difficult to deal with them all, especially in one column. Let me try to highlight a couple of the more glaring lessons that come out of this tragic story. Under Florida statutes, Terri's husband, Michael, is legally authorized to make life or death decisions on behalf of his wife. These statutes are no doubt, rooted in the principle that the marriage relationship of a man and a woman is the cornerstone of the family and of all society. In principle, this is a very good thing. No one, at least not me, wants the state meddling in the affairs of the family except under dire and extreme circumstances. However, are not the circumstances surrounding the Terri Schiavo affair dire and extreme? Does not the state intervene in family matters hundreds to even thousands of times every year for matters much less severe than those surrounding Terri Schiavo? Obviously, state laws recognizing the authority and right of a spouse to speak for his or her mate in life-threatening matters hinges on the presupposition that the spouse truly loves his or her mate and seeks the mate's best interest. Unfortunately, too many times a spouse will prove by his or her actions that he or she does not have the mate's best interest at heart, and the state is forced to intervene. Can any objective person who is even vaguely familiar with Terry's story not readily admit that there is more than ample evidence of misconduct and mismanagement of Terry's care and oversight by husband Michael Schiavo? This part of the story is a no-brainer. Where is the custody for curiosity for truth and desire for justice on the part of local and state law enforcement, state attorneys, and local and state judges located in Pinellas Park and in the state of Florida? Is there not plenty of circumstantial evidence to suggest that Michael is acting out of motives that are unclear, uncertain, and perhaps even unscrupulous, to say the least? Somewhere within the vast bureaucracy of law enforcement and the state judiciary, there must be mechanisms in place to circumvent state-ordered starvation. Yet, despite all the hullabaloo of Florida politicians, Terry Schiavo is slowly dying of starvation and dehydration. I cannot imagine a more painful death. Does anyone in their right mind really believe that starvation of a young woman whose medical condition is anything but certain? After all, more than 30 physicians, including numerous process specialists, have emphatically declared that Terry Schiavo is not a persistent vegetative state. Is what lawmakers had in mind when they created the state laws that are now being used to justify Terry's torturous death? Get real. Another glaring lesson is that of how the executive and legislative branches of government, both state and federal, are ceding power to the judiciary at a frightening pace. For all practical purposes, we do not have three separate but equal branches of government anymore. Instead, we have an all-powerful judiciary with no checks and balances provided by the other two branches. The term Terry Schiavo case shines neon lights upon this reality. There is no question to anyone who understands the separation of powers doctrine that Governor Jeb Bush has the discretionary authority and obligation to faithfully execute his state laws protecting the right to life. The same authority is given to all state governors, and in matters relating to the federal government, this same authority is granted to the President of the United States. In Governor Bush's case, Article 1, Section 2 of the Florida State Constitution clearly says, all natural persons, female and male alike, are equal before the law and have inalienable rights, among which are the right to enjoy and defend life. Furthermore, Article 1, Section 2 states that no person shall be deprived of any right because of physical disability. Further still, Article 4, Section 1 of the Florida State Constitution emphatically says that the supreme executive power of the state of Florida is vested in the governor, who shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Neither is any chief justice bound by the opinions of the judiciary. Thomas Jefferson said in 1819 that each of the three departments has equally the right to decide for itself what is its duty under the Constitution without regard to what the others may have decided for themselves under a similar question. President Andrew Jackson agreed with Jefferson. He once observed that judicial precedent is a dangerous source of authority and should not be regarded as the deciding questions of constitutional authority. Jackson also categorically stated that a president or governor is bound by his oath of office to decide matters of constitutional right and power according to the executive's interpretation of the Constitution, not according to the judiciary's interpretation. Consider that Alexander Hamilton wrote in the Federalist No. 78 that the exercise of judicial power is subject to the check and balance of the executive branch, which alone has the power to enforce a judicial order. Thus, if a court order is contrary to the law of the inalienable right to life, as the order of in the Schiavo case surely is, then Governor Bush has the vested authority to intervene and stop any action pursuant to that court order. In other words, Jeb Bush could have taken custody of Terry Schiavo and see to it that her feeding tube was removed, not removed at any time, the political rambling and doublespeak notwithstanding. However, instead of faithfully executing the laws of Florida, which protect such people such as Terry Schiavo, Jeb Bush decided to wash his hands of the matter and turn Terry over to the will of the judiciary shades of Pontius Pilate, he says. It should be clear to anyone willing to see that while Terry Schiavo suffers what must be an agonizing death, Lady Liberty is also dying. Her feeding tube, the feeding tube of constitutional government and bedrock principle, has been removed, and she is starving for want of the fundamental fluids that maintain her health and vitality. Oh, I'm sure readers will be pleased to know that the same state of Florida has given its blessing to the slow starvation of Terry Schiavo, has arrested a rancher in Immokalee, Florida, for starving his cows. According to the press reports, his remaining cows were seized and fed by domestic animal services. How comforting. Chuck Baldwin. Well, appreciate the comment. We're late for a break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Well, we're trying to hurl with great force liberalism this morning. Went over for a bit on that last break, and so we're going to be a little bit short on this particular segment. Had a couple of interesting things we wanted to talk about. I guess we'll probably do this at the top of the hour, relating to drugs. A few stories came in on the drug issue, and yesterday in my course I give my homeschooled students on economic theory, we ran into a question dealing with it, and I thought we might bring it up here on Christian Worldview. At any rate, I got an email from Christian Libertarian, or libertarianchristians.org. If you haven't been to this site, by the way, you might want to visit Brian Morton from libertarianchristians.org. Also interesting to talk about. Of course, these are all pro-life libertarians, and there are a lot of us out there who have been hiding out, for fear, I suppose. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, there are a few of us out there, not as vocal as some of the other libertarians you find, who are typically the stereotyped, at any rate, as the long-haired hippie-type dope-smoking libertarians. It's actually, if you go to the convention, there's very few of those out there, including very few homosexual activists. But they seem to get the most press coverage for whatever reason. Some people might say it's just a diabolical plot by the media to portray libertarians generally as being this way, which is simply not the case. Anyway, visit libertarianchristians.org, and you can also send an email to Brian Morton at accdntljibe. That's like accidental jibe, it looks like. accdntljibe@aol.com. He says price gouging fines are part of a socialist effort. A recent story noted that a Treasure Coast hotel was fined $75,000 for price gouging. Owners are the sole authority over the value of their property. Supply and demand are the only guide. The consequences of poor pricing drives out less adept and unethical businessmen. If you own dirt, you can ask $1 million for it. If I'm willing to pay $1 million, then we have a deal. A fool and his money are soon parted. In every transaction, without government coercion, both parties have the right to trade, haggle, or walk away. Economic laws dictate as supply increases or demand decreases, prices fall. As supply decreases or demand increases, prices rise. It's why diamonds cost more than dirt, waterfront property costs more than landlocked property, and prices skyrocket after a disaster. The effect socialists call price gouging is actually beneficial. When my family fled Hurricane Francis, we looked for a room in northern Florida. I would have paid twice the going rate, but there were no rooms. What if prices had risen to reach scarcity? or to meet scarcity. I saw motorhomes in parking in hotel parking lots. Rooms were cheap enough for those for these owners not to sleep in their RVs. There were families there were families in multiple rooms spending multiple nights. Had the price been higher, they might not have paid it. Some might have stayed with family or friends. We were en route to stay with a family in Alabama and only needed one room for one night. Instead, we napped in the car. It is sad that people who claim to be free will let government control so much of their lives. Charge prices higher than the competition. You're guilty of price gouging. Change the same price as the competition. You're guilty of price fixing. Charge lower prices than the competition. You're guilty of dumping. To the socialists, you will always be guilty as long as you are free. You know, I kind of like that quote. I should put that on the webpage. To the socialists, you are always guilty as long as you are free. And it's so true. Socialists never relent. We are always diabolical and wrong if we are free and we are looking to the market system to be the best way to organize society, the best way to provide goods and services for people who have needs in a world of scarcity. So appreciate Brian's comments this morning from ChristianLibertarians.org. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty, in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. I want to remind you again to attend the free 2005 Southern History Conference, which is going to occur April 4th through 7th in Greenville, South Carolina. You can simply go over to the Spanish-speaking church, and there'll be signs posted at 211 White Oak Road off of North Pleasantburg Drive, which is just not too far from Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville, South Carolina. You can have great speakers there starting at 7 o'clock every evening. You'll have Pastor Carl Robbins starting off about R.L. Dabney, the social conservative. Next evening at 7, you'll have Dr. Morton H. Smith talking about the influence of Benjamin Morgan Palmer on the Confederate cause. The next night, you'll have Dr. Joseph A. Pipa, president of the Greenville Theological Seminary, talking about the character of Stonewall Jackson. He'll be speaking at 7 o'clock. And the following night, Dr. Nick Wilborn at 7 o'clock from the same seminary will be talking about the life and ministry of John L. Girardo. Then every evening at 7:45, you have a special treat. You'll have Baptist Christian Reconstructionist John Weaver and True Patriot standing up for freedoms and liberties in the here in America, whatever are left of them, at least the historical truths and freedoms that we've had. He'll be speaking on various topics, including the story of the D.C. Klan, which went and incited all sorts of grief in the South and incited the war, that is, the war between the states or the war of northern aggression. We also have him speaking the next night on Who Are the Rebels, and the following night, the Palmyra Massacre at 7:45, and finally, on the Christian character of Robert E. Lee. So be sure to make some time to go out to the 2005 Southern History Conference, April 4th through 7th. Admission is free, 211 White Oak Road. Look for the signs to the Spanish-speaking church where it will be held. We'll be broadcasting the tapes from those shows here on the Tyranny Response, or those conferences here on the Tyranny Response Network, in case you can't go. But we encourage as many people as can to get out to the Southern History Conference. I also want to give a quick plug again for the Times Examiner. Read my columns in the Times Examiner. They're important for your thinking as a Christian. How many Christian libertarians, or how many Christians who hold dearly to the Founding Fathers' principles, who are true constitutionalists, do you know? There are not that many, especially not who are academics and who are of the scholarly variety that actually write books and articles. So take advantage of reading them when you can. You have several up here in the upstate of South Carolina, but again, that's unusual. To have Dr. Stephen Yates up here and people like Tim Terrell up at Wofford College, just having three of us within proximity to one another within, say, 10 miles or 15 miles is truly amazing. You can go to large areas, large metro areas, and not have so many because we're just so few and far between. Why? Well, because most academics just aren't that interested, and for one thing. And secondly, a lot of the academics are sold out to, in fact, the vast majority of the people that I went to grad school with were sold out to leftist principles. They aren't interested in liberty or the vision of the founders. And, of course, try to find ones who are Christians, who are evangelicals that believe and hold these tenets. You've got a far, far narrower selection of things. So by all means, pick up a copy of the Times Examiner and read the columns there that you'll find by those of us who hold to the faith and who also promote liberty, the truths of the Founding Fathers. Help you think a little deeper and improve your understanding of the truth, and help perhaps to spread the truth by giving those columns to other folks. You can get a copy of the Times Examiner by calling Bob Dill or Laverle at 864-268-0576, 864-268-0576. They're located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. If you just want to pick up a copy, go ahead and enjoy that paper by picking up one today. Getting a subscription sent to you is only $20 a year in-state, $22 a year out-of-state. Christian Exodus folks, take notice. You'll get not only those great columns, but also some of the happenings here in Greenville, South Carolina. It's to your advantage to pick up a copy or get on the mailing list of the Times Examiner. And you can do so once again at 864-268-0576. It may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of the show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. And indeed, it is a fine paper, some good articles, some things I don't particularly care for in the first freedom, as I've read it, but just as I would say about the Times Examiner, by the way, you're not going to find something that you pick up and read that agrees with you 100%, or you agree with 100%. That's pretty hard to do. But by and large, the articles that are in the first freedom, as those that are located in the Times Examiner, are great. You might also look online for Free Market News Network. That's another group that frequently publishes my articles. And in fact, most of them, I believe, are posted on their website now. If you just search for my name, it's called the Free Market News Network out of Florida. So we encourage you to have a look there. We're having a great time this morning on Christian Worldview. Very glad that you've joined us. Hope that you can support us in one way or another. Go to policyofliberty.net, our homepage, and scroll down through the links there and see if there's some way that you might be able to send a small donation to the show, or if you have some materials or times that you can donate, send a note to our production staff. There's an email link there for you to click on the Policy of Liberty homepage and take advantage of just sending a quick note to us to encourage us in our work here at the show, and also to possibly provide some sort of support to us. Tyranny Response Network is a volunteer organization. A Christian Worldview show is done and promoted, produced, and taken care of entirely by volunteers. So if you can help us in any way, we would greatly appreciate it. We come up to a quick break here, time again, on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. but you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. Yesterday I mentioned we were going to talk a bit about drugs today. That is illegal, illicit drugs. And I think that's an important issue, obviously, from the Christian worldview, because we don't think that taking drugs or imbibing any substance that causes us to be, debauched or completely under their influence is a good thing for Christians. Or for anybody, for that matter. And so there is a question that arises, well, should the state and its policies be used to enact these sorts of wars on drugs and so forth and try to force people to not use illicit or these hallucinogenic sort of substances? My view, of course, is no, they shouldn't. The government does not actually improve the situation in society by having wars on drugs. In fact, the war on drugs is just a ruse to me for government to rob us of more of our rights, and it doesn't actually reduce and significantly enough any amount of drug use in society to make it even worthwhile considering from an economic point of view. Well, at any rate, a couple stories that came up about drugs. You may disagree with that, by the way, and you're welcome to call the show. I'd love to talk with you about that, 864-201-6955, or send a question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, we have a couple stories that came in. One came in from Kabul, Afghanistan. Afghan farmers are growing less opium this year because of a government ban and fear that their crops will be destroyed in an internationally sponsored crackdown, according to a UN report released Sunday. Afghan officials said the eradication drive would begin within days, but warned that more intentional international aid was needed to uproot the world's largest illegal narcotics industry. Opium production has boomed since the fall of the Taliban, sparking warnings that Afghanistan is becoming a narco state. Just 3 years after U.S. forces ousted the Taliban, drug money equals 40% of legal national income. There may be a reason for that, by the way. After you destroy a country's economy and infrastructure, why drugs might become so attractive to folks, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Last year, cultivation reached a record of 323,700 acres and yielded nearly 90% of the world's opium. Interestingly, I just wonder if George Bush or any of his cronies are getting a kickback all of all this. I don't know why that came into my mind, but it could be that they have something to do with this. Anyway, I don't know that. I have no proof that George Bush enjoys the drug traffic or at least some benefits from it, but for some reason it just doesn't seem that it would rise above him to do such a thing. Now, some people probably are boiling right now after they hear me say such a preposterous thing, they think, but look at the facts, folks. I mean, hey, 90% of the world's opium is coming from Afghanistan after we've supposedly cleaned it up? Anyway, I wouldn't say that Clinton was any different on the drug issue, but he said that police seized nearly 4 tons of opium in 3 recent raids of the South that high-profile arrests would follow. So look to Afghanistan if you want to get your opium, folks. We'll see what's happening with the opium trade. We also have some other drug activity here, this time in Washington, a drug that has been used for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for 30 years is being discontinued. The consumer group Public Citizen petitioned the Food and Drug Administration on Thursday, asking the agency to ban Pemoline, also sold under the trade name Cylert, because of reported cases of liver damage in users. About Abbott Laboratories, the manufacturer of Cylert, said it is already planning to discontinue the drug because of declining sales. Pemoline was approved in 1975. Since then, other drugs, including generics, have become available to treat ADHD. Cylert sales were less than $1 million last year. In its petition, Public Citizen said the drug has been withdrawn in the United Kingdom and Canada and carries 2 separate label warnings in this country. Between 1975 approval and 1996, there were 193 adverse drug reactions involving the liver ascribed to Pemoline, including 13 cases of acute liver failure, Public Citizen said. So here we have a legal drug that seems to be causing some damage to people that the FDA, the great government protectorate of the people has in fact allowed to come through. Now, if somebody's going to say, well, look, Dr. Coben, I mean, everybody knows drugs have bad side effects and that, you know, I mean, once in a while you're going to have a bad vaccine or you're going to have a bad drug and somebody's going to get hurt by the thing, which is just a cost we all have to accept. Well, perhaps to some extent you do come along with that fact. But we're talking about kids here that are just being given stuff based on some sort of diagnosis, some sort of feeling that somebody has. Well, maybe they're having trouble learning because they're a little bit too hyperactive. Instead of just spanking the kid and telling him to shape up, they drug him. They go, turn him into a zombie during the class. So maybe he doesn't. That's why he probably gets even lower test scores. They're zombieizing these kids by putting them on these illegal drugs. If you read Dr. Stephen Yates' articles or the book Bruce Short put out, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, you find out a lot more about many of these drugs, including Ritalin, which have the same effect on the brain. They deal with the same sensors, apparently. And again, I'm not a physician, just telling you what they said. They deal with they affect those same sensors in the brain that cocaine does. And they're sort of a legal form of cocaine in terms of the inhibitors or the things that they affect. Now, somebody who's a physician could probably call in and have a better idea or understanding of how these things actually work. But Bruce Short, Stephen Yates, and many others have criticized their overuse, in fact, much of their use at all, in school systems as being a means to dope up these kids to no good. So here we have legal drugs, in addition to the opium in Afghanistan, where 90% of the crop comes. Also, we have an article in Internal Medicine News from March 15th, says, entitled, it's a small little article from Sally Koch Kubatin, "Pass the doobie, Pops," is what it says. It was only a matter of time, given the inevitability of irony of this life. Researchers have found that synthetic analog of the active component of marijuana may prevent the cognitive decline in Alzheimer's disease. The same ingredient at this very moment has stoned college students all over the United States looking high and low for their cell phones may have a clarifying effect on the cognitive function of their grandparents, enabling esteemed elders to live independently and safely. The observation comes from a study in which researchers injected cannabinoid or placebo in either amyloid, this is what's the problem you have when you read an internal medicine news, all these jargon words or these terms that we don't normally use, amyloid or control protein into the brains of rats. After months of injections, the researchers attempted to treat the rats to find an underwater platform. The rats treated with a cannabinoid and amyloid were the only ones able to find the platform. The combination activated immune cells to reduce inflammation and improve cognitive function. In a sad day for some of the Grateful Dead's oldest fans, future research will focus on the cannabinoid receptors not involved with producing the psychotropic effects associated with marijuana use. So here we have a few different drug cases, folks. These are sort of interesting, aren't they? You have the Afghanistan case where the illegal drugs are booming after George Bush's army's been in there. And then we have the marijuana doing badly for young people, but great for grandparents and elderly trying to find things in the dark. And then you have the case of the legal drugs, which are being threatened to be pulled off the market, hopefully, by some of these groups, like the Citizens Group. Well, interesting that we have all these different drug wars going on all at once. When we come back, we're going to talk about an interesting economic implication of the whole illegality of drugs. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
This is Bobby Woods from the Survey Office of I.A. Romo, PLS. We support and endorse the Christian Worldview program on the Tyranny Response Network on 97.7 FM in Greenville, South Carolina. As Christian business owners, we encourage and challenge other business owners to consider prayerfully supporting the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben. The American Christian culture is being challenged through the Christian Worldview program to consider its position on issues such as government schools, abortion, revisionist history, gun rights, and other constitutional issues. If you care about the future of our culture, if you want to make a difference, call and support the Christian Worldview program on the Tyranny Response Network. We at the Survey Office of I.A. Romo, PLS, proudly support the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben. For all your professional surveying needs, call us at 864-295-0460. That's 295-0460.
One of the things I require of all my homeschool students is they acquire the economic way of thinking. I don't care if my kids want to be nurses or computer scientists or chemists or anything else. They must learn how to think like an economist, at least a little bit. Why? Well, just a single economics course taught by a good person with an understanding of how capitalism works in free markets would resolve so many conundrums in the minds of the Christian community. If they just had a single economics course, a good course in microeconomics that would help them understand the way markets work and why government policies will completely fail to do what they say today they will, because people are just ignorant, frankly, folks, about economic theory. We just, we see it appallingly and at an appalling rate every day. Anyway, Paul Hain has written probably the best economics, standard economics textbook you can use for freshmen in college called The Economic Way of Thinking. And the reading from the 9th edition, chapter 11 on profit, page 281, question 16. He asks the students this question. The text argues that if an activity is known to be profitable, more people will go into that activity and that profits will disappear. Does that apply to the selling of cocaine? Now, let me just back up and give a small interpretation or maybe mini lecture on this. What happens with any kind of business is that as long as it's profitable, it's going to attract more people to enter the market. Let's say, for instance, that somebody learns how to put down wood flooring for the first time, and wood flooring in a home might cost him a person, say, $8,000 to put in when it first comes out onto the market for a pretty good-sized home. Well, the person who's installing it may have some special skill to do this, and it may only cost him, you know, maybe $500 or $1,000 or so for the wood that he's going to use to put down the flooring. This is just a hypothetical example. All the rest of that that money that comes, it will come to him in the form of a profit. Say it costs him $1,000 to put it down, takes him several hours of labor, maybe even a day of labor, but he's going to end up getting thousands of dollars in return. Well, the next person's going to come down the street and begin to look, I know he can get that stuff for only $1,000 in material costs. If he's really charging $8,000, I can do that in a day or two myself. I'll just charge $6,000. And when I charge only $6,000, I'll undercut his price and I'll get more business. And indeed he will, as long as assuming the quality of the two people's work is just as good, he'll enter the market. And then what will happen is someone else will come along and say, hey, That's still 4,000 plus profit. I can do that and be happy just to have 3,000 plus profit for that day's labor or 2 days labor. I'll go ahead and undercut it to 5,000 and enter the market. And this chain continues until all the profit is actually gone, and that people who stay in the market are those who find ways to reduce their costs, become more productive by using machinery and tools to do the flooring job better so they can get more of them done in a faster rate of time. As a result, in the short run, monopoly profits can be acquired by anybody who enters for the first time into a market with a new product, such as the wood flooring example. But in the future, competitive forces will drive the price down and improve the quality and efficiency of wood flooring so that people will have a better price and better quality. Competitive forces is always beneficial in a free market system because of this very reason. However, the potential for monopoly profits on the short term is what attracts people to enter the market in the first place, to come up with a new idea. So both things are good things. He says, how does that whole thesis apply to the selling of cocaine? Well, absolutely it does. Remember, cocaine, by making it illegal, does not mean that people will no longer use cocaine. People are simply going to find other ways to get cocaine that are not legal. They're going to go to the street corner or the schoolyard or wherever it is they get this stuff. I don't think you can get it on eBay. Maybe you can. I just don't know. I haven't been in the market for cocaine. But at any rate, if you want some cocaine, you're going to have to pay a higher price. And the reason you have to pay a higher price is government has restricted people from entering the market. By restricting people from entering the market, the price becomes higher. In the same way as with the wood flooring example, if you restrict people from entering the wood flooring industry, it will force that person, or it will allow that person who's charging the high price, the $8,000 fee or even the $6,000 fee, to be able to maintain that price. Consumers will not get the benefits of greater efficiency and productivity and lower prices and greater quality. Instead, they end up having a lower quality product that's higher priced than it could otherwise be under competitive forces. Well, the same thing absolutely happens with cocaine. When government restricts the number of people that actually are willing to go into the market and sell it, you're going to get lower quality cocaine. You're going to get a very high price. And because the price stays high, it gives it a continual incentive for people to move into the cocaine market and take on that kind of occupation, just from an economic point of view. Moral considerations aside, I know there's a lot of folks who say, I would never do anything like sell drugs. Well, that may be true for you, and it would be true for me as a Christian. I don't get involved with immoral activities like that, and certainly not as a business practice. But other people don't have those scruples. There are many people in society who are not Christians, who do not have any moral qualms with selling cocaine. And so what will happen is, if a young man is in high school or in a public high school, sees no hope or no future for himself other than flipping burgers at Burger King or going to even to Chick-fil-A or whatever it is and making some fast food up and earning, you know, a whopping $20,000 a year, maybe $30,000 a year, if he compares that $20,000-$30,000 a year of earnings, working his tail off working for somebody else, and compares that $200,000 or $300,000 he gets over 10 years to being able to make in a single year twice that much, $500,000 or $600,000 by selling cocaine, he's going to be tempted to enter the market and sell cocaine. Why waste his time trying to be legitimate when he can take a chance and make so much more money? That even applies if he goes to jail. Notice that if he goes to jail during that 10-year period for 5 years, if he just had 5 years of the income from cocaine sales at, say, $200,000 a year, he's still three or four times as much money, maybe five times as much money as he would get working at a legitimate job. So you can see how the economic incentives work. Well, when we come back after this break, we'll talk a bit more about this question, as Hain asked some specific questions about why cocaine selling leads to the economic incentives and outcomes that it does. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty, in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We do welcome you back to Christian Worldview, talking about a very important subject this morning about the economic implications and incentives associated with illegal drugs. Had several articles we read earlier about Afghanistan, about the use of certain legal drugs in public schools. And elsewhere. We'll get back to that in just a second. I want to give a quick announcement for the Southern History Conference. That's April 4th through 7th in Greenville, South Carolina. Admission is free. It starts 7 o'clock and it'll end about 9 o'clock every evening, April 4th through 7th. You have great speakers there, including Pastor John Weaver, Pastor Carl Robbins, Dr. Morton Smith, Joseph Pipa, and Nick Wilborn from the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Hope you can attend. Admission's free. Once again, 211 White Oak Road, just off of North Pleasantburg Drive, which is not too far from Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville, South Carolina. It may interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. And we'd like to also tell you that Greenville is going to have a beautiful day today. It's about just in the low 40s right now, about 44 degrees. We're going to get up to 77 degrees today. Shouldn't be any humidity, blue skies, and just a beautiful spring day here in Greenville, South Carolina. There is a flood watch, however, out because the rivers still begin to swell from the weekend rain in the mountains. Spartanburg and Greenville County could have some flooding on the road, so be careful as you're driving. Otherwise, a beautiful day here in Greenville, South Carolina. We've been talking about this question that Paul Hain raised in Chapter 11, a prophet chapter on his book, The Economic Way of Thinking. Question 16 says, the text argues that if an activity is known to be profitable, more people will go into that activity, and the profits will disappear. Does that apply to cocaine, the selling of cocaine? And I said, yes. He says, question A, the costs of selling cocaine include the risk of being arrested and in prison. Why is a 10-year sentence not twice as strong a deterrent as a 5-year sentence? Why does one chance in five of being in prison for 10 years translate into less than 2 years imprisonment? Is a cocaine seller likely to use a high or low discount rate in deciding on the subjective cost of possible government or possible imprisonment? Why is the threat of imprisonment more effective in deterring people? Some people than others? Well, the answer to this, to all these questions succinctly, as I said earlier, is that a person who has very low job skills and who looks at flipping burgers the rest of his life is going to view the imprisonment as just another cost that he has of going into production. And so what's going to happen is these people are going to discount the prison sentence as being a possibility, but the gains that they can gain from monopoly profits through drug selling are just simply far greater. And so he's going to discount the future cost, just as one would discount the cost of getting an education before going into a job function, a new field of study. Well, I want to interrupt our talking about drugs because we have a caller on the line. We want to go to the phones, and we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview today. Who am I speaking with?
Joseph here, doctor.
Hello, Joseph.
I appreciate you making those announcements about the First Freedom, and I'm just calling to let people know that I'm associated with at least two tyranny response-oriented papers, and I'll be happy to send folks samples of both of them. The other one, as you know, is called the Nationalist Times.
Okay.
And my handle here is that I have covered your progress with the Christian Worldview show in a feature I write for it called Dixie Diary, in which I include all the news that's fit to print, 2 pages worth in each monthly issue. I do warmly invite people to contact me about these things. I am more than happy to send them at my expense, and if you don't watch out, my folks, I'll send you a lot of other really interesting stuff that picks up where the mass media leave off as well.
Okay,
and, it was my joy, for instance, to report the first Christian Worldview show, and I'm working on something to cover the crossing of the Red Sea into its present form, with infinitely more freedom and Christian liberty about it. And we salute you, Dr. Coven, for all of you and your associates have done, well, frankly, including me a little bit, to get this thing rolling in such a miraculously short span of time. What did it take, about 5 weeks from the time the evil neocons brought a stop to our first adventure on that other station till when you were up and running on this one?
Yeah, it was a pretty quick transition. We appreciate the comment and also letting us know about Nationalist Times. But we've had a kind of a little bit of a rocky transition because we just weren't as well financed as we'd like to have been. But there is a huge groundswell of support for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, just because the listenership at the former station really felt like they were at a loss or had a loss because I was not on the airwaves. I appreciated personally all that that encouragement. We're just happy for anybody who's able to support the Christian Worldview show and the free market talk that we have on this particular program. It's just not available elsewhere, anywhere on the airwaves that we know, at least not in the Southeast that we've found. And so, there's a demand for it from those of us who are considered radicals and out there by many of the mainstream people. But
As is sometimes said, it's not that we became radical, it's the center moved its position, the alleged putative center between extremes of left and right, isn't it? We're standing right where we always did, but the talk show hosts and media mouths and politicians have managed to change the parameters of left and right. We're still solidly in the center of it all, as far as I'm concerned, right where God's people should be, neither looking too far to the right or too far to the left, only so far as gives us our proper perspective where we are, don't you think?
Well, I guess some people could have that perspective. Ever since I've been in my mid-20s and started understanding what Abraham Lincoln was all about and his diabolical plan to destroy this country and his success, relative success in doing so, I've seen myself as quite a bit on the right. Everybody I meet is way to the left of me, so I just felt like I must be a born right-winger. But I really appreciate the call, Nelson. I suppose I'm being sort of facetious when I say that, but it's been great talking to you this morning. I think we've lost him. Okay, good. Well, that's okay. He can say goodbye. I'm sorry. That was Joseph we were speaking to. I had my caller ID wrong here. back to Christian worldview and back to this whole issue about the economic incentives provided by drug use. Paul Haines says in part B of his question, another cost of selling is the risk of selling cocaine, that is the risk of being killed by competitors. This cost will be much lower for some people than for others. Characterize a person who, for whom this cost will be relatively low. Well, again, who would not have much fear of being shot by the virtue of the fact that he's got a certain job? Probably a good example is the Burger King employee. I mean, nobody really wants to displace that Burger King employee and take his job. I mean, there may be a few people that's an aspiration to get up to that level, especially people that are not incapacitated. But for most folks, that's the bottom of the barrel sort of a job. It's a job that teenagers do, people that don't have job skills yet. So here, indeed, is an example of someone who has very little cost or worry about being killed for being in his job. A cocaine dealer is probably the other end of the spectrum because the profits are so high, and becoming the mafia boss or the drug lord of the area is a very lucrative position. They see the fancy cars and the nice homes and all the perks and benefits that go along with being a drug dealer in an economic sense, and therefore the risk of being killed or displaced by somebody else goes up dramatically because they have just so much more than others. So in the market, there are not only the costs of imprisonment, there are also costs that arise from being the potential of being killed, and that's why these people, unlike Burger King employees, have to walk around with bodyguards. All these things go into the calculus, the thinking of a person before he enters into the market to be a drug lord or a drug dealer, and therefore they decide whether or not they should go into that business based on all of these different elements. Now, again, if a person can make millions and millions of dollars as a drug dealer versus doing something legitimate and only making $20,000, $30,000 a year, it's still going to be worth the cost to them, the risk to them, I should say, to go into the drug selling trade because there's just so much potential profit there. The chance to live well for 3 years or 5 years is better than living a life of poverty for 30 or 40 years for many people. This is a sad tragedy of the drug war. By making drugs illegal, they drive up the price, allowing monopoly profits to be taken, and we end up, indeed, having these kinds of perverse incentives in society. We have drugs continue to be sold because people have more incentive to go in and discounting those costs that we've mentioned, being killed or going to prison, for the benefits they can get in the short run of having the drug sales. One reason why we'll never get rid of the war on drugs through government policy is indeed the economic, getting rid of drug use or legal illicit drug use through government policy is because of the economic incentives that are created. And finally, question C of this, or part C of this question 16 says, for whom is the selling of cocaine profitable? Well, obviously anybody who enters the market to sell cocaine believes that they're going to make money and probably do make money, and it is profitable for them personally to do so, as well as those who buy the stuff. Now, we may not agree that they're doing well for their bodies or doing right before God by having cocaine sales, buying cocaine. But the point is they believe it. And as long as in a free market, as long as somebody believes that he's benefiting by buying something and there's someone who's willing to sell it to him, we find that an exchange will occur. So both sides of the transaction believe that there's a benefit for them, there's a mutually beneficial gain from trade, and they do so. These incentives are simply economic incentives in the world. These are not necessarily moral incentives or implications, but these are the way things work. This is why things exist in a world, especially a world that is not populated by Christians or those who are regenerate who want to follow after God's law. Government policy cannot make things better in these circumstances. It only makes things worse. And there are many other reasons why the war on drugs will fail, but the simple economics incentives should help us see clearly why the war on drugs is not going to actually reduce drug use in the long run. It just makes it even more lucrative to turn in, to go into, and more violent, more pervasive, and a greater loss of rights for those of us who are on the outside looking in, not even involved with the drug dealing and drug wars and all those kinds of things. We just end up losing rights. We lose property rights. We lose individual rights on account of the government's bungling policies. So appreciate Paul Haines' book. Hope that's helped you think a little bit better today as you consider the drug policy in America. We're coming close to the last segment of the show here. In fact, we may go to a break real quickly here, and then I have several other things I wanted to talk about. One of them was Social Security, but we're not going to get to that today. We might talk about Social Security again tomorrow. It's been a topic on the show in the past. We also have some deep questions to get to at some point here on Christian Worldview, and perhaps that'll be tomorrow. But someone had sent me from the research staff something about Wade Hampton. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about Wade Hampton because it was his birthday yesterday. He was born on March 28th, and he has this big street named after him and that runs through Greenville-Spartanburg area. And we'd like to tell you a little bit about who Wade Hampton was, a true patriot and somebody worth knowing about. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number is 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. Hmm. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Hmm. Up to you, sir.
All right, all right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife Betty subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay?
This is Pastor Romo from South Point Baptist Church in Pelzer, South Carolina. We at South Point Baptist Church support the Christian Worldview Program as a mission. We believe that it is an area in which the church has been quiet for much too long. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and we must retard corruption and shine the biblical light of truth on a society that is corrupted and living in darkness. The Christian Worldview Program serves as an outlet for the Church of Jesus Christ to convey the message of righteousness to a lost and dying world and to a community of confused Christians. Pastors, will you consider the Christian Worldview Program as part of your mission? budget? Will you become part of this unusual ministry? We have. I challenge you to support the Christian Worldview program. Be a part of something that will challenge the thinking of Christians. Be a part of the influence that can turn this culture around for the truth. Call us today at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. The Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben is solely responsible for the content of its programming.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. And yes, I'm solely responsible for the content of my program. Nobody tells me what to do, which is why I love America so much. So far, nobody's been able to tell me what to do yet. Well, they try sometimes, but I just I disobey, perhaps, when I'm supposed to do certain things and I'm not complying. It was that way for so long when we were doing homeschooling, when it was so-called illegal to do so in many places, since I started almost 14 years ago. At any rate, sometimes it's necessary for us to disobey the edicts of the state, and we appreciate all of those who are willing to stand up for the truth, as our founding fathers did. We're going to go right in to talk about Wade Hampton, but we're going to have to take a quick pause because we have Roy on the line, and I'd like to welcome you to the show, Roy. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Well, good to hear you talking about a lot of these issues. I was curious about this drug issue that you're talking about. I'm not much of an economist, but isn't there something, a principle called the law of supply and demand?
Yes, well, we've been talking about the law of supply and demand earlier, that about drugs. What did you particularly have in mind?
Well, I was wondering about, the inner city. I grew up in Brooklyn, and I know that there'd be a lot of kids in New York that would love to hear what you're saying this morning. I'll tell you, it seems to me that there's, among my schoolmates, if there hadn't been some restrictions, by the government placed on drugs, it would have been a, pretty bad problem.
Well, it's an interesting thought. What would happen if you completely removed restrictions on drugs and it were a free market to be sold, much like coffee would be, or any other thing, aspirin, for instance? Well, according to the law of supply and demand, the same way as the wood floors example, you would have people begin to enter the market rapidly. There would be a huge rush of people initially to sell cocaine, but people would begin undercutting each other's prices. So if at first cost, I don't know, it's sold by the gram or the ounce or whatever it is, say it costs $1,000 for an ounce, and that may be completely off. I have no idea what cocaine costs, but say it costs $1,000 for an ounce, and someone else knows that they can buy it on the street from a wholesaler for only $50, they're going to rush in and undercut the next guy's price to $900, and the next guy's going to rush in and undercut it to $800, then to $700, until eventually, in a relatively short period of time, you're going to be able to buy cocaine for about the same price, the $50 they buy it for, and the people that make money are the ones who are able to lower the cost of production, of actually distribution, and so forth. And so cocaine will become very cheap. At that point, you're going to see people be able to buy and sell cocaine just as they would in stores for any other medication over the counter, and then it will be left up completely to moral suasion to keep people from overdosing on this particular drug, just as we try to keep people from smoking or keep people from drinking too much alcohol or drinking or taking too many prescription drugs and so forth. Will the drug problem go away of cocaine use? Absolutely not. It will certainly not go away any more than alcoholism has gone away. The question is not whether or not we can eliminate cocaine use through the law or repealing the drug war, but whether or not our society will be better off as a result. Markets don't bring perfection, but they certainly are better than government policy, because the alternative is you create an incentive for all of these young folks in Brooklyn or wherever to go into the drug market and become drug dealers instead of working at Burger King or doing any other legal activity. If drugs like cocaine were to drop from $1,000 an ounce down to $50, there'd be very little incentive for people to go into that business. In fact, big business would take it over and package it up and purify it and make sure they had the best quality and so forth, knocking out those people from the schoolyards from the business.
That speaks a bit to my issue. They're going to try to get the better quality, the lower price. We've got millions of kids in the inner cities, Dr. Coben, who will be just overjoyed by this. You would have a severe problem on your hands.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean. What problem? They wouldn't be going into the drug dealing business. What problem would they have?
The drug using business. obviously, you know, like you're saying, perhaps big businesses get involved, and maybe there would be, you know, some larger companies rather than these drug dealers who, mm-hmm. who are more incognito. But in the meantime, you would have just an immense, you know, growing up in Brooklyn and then ministering in inner cities, you know, I know how these kids operate, and they would be just, I mean, I had kids in my class in 10th grade and 11th grade who they would have, you know, if they'd have had a cheaper price on this, and if they knew it wasn't illegal and stuff, well, they would have jumped at it, and they would have got addicted. I think the problem here that we might be missing is the fact that there are some types of elements that are addictive. And once on it, it's very difficult to break the habit. Don't you agree?
That's true, but that itself is a deterrent. As soon as people see others become addicted, they also are deterred from doing so and from getting involved with the drug. And actually, I think it would work exactly the opposite of what you're saying. There still would be people who would run to and use the drugs, but they would not be any more than any other legal drug now, such as alcohol or cigarettes and so forth. There would be people that do it, but it would not be a cataclysmic event that would drive many, many people to the market, relatively speaking. Unfortunately,
you don't think that the high prices of drugs actually hinders some people from buying it?
Well, that is obviously true, but the distortions that come from having the high price, from causing many people to enter the market to become drug dealers instead of working, is far greater. Remember, most people at schoolyards get their drugs from the pushers at school, entered the market so they can get the monopoly profits. If those people have known,
I totally disagree. I wish you had a little more practical experience hands-on, and had been with some of these. I mean, literally thousands of kids that we've worked with that, you know, they get caught up and they get addicted. And there's really, for every one pusher, there's just scads of kids that are just taking it, you know, and having to go somewhere to get the money for it. And they, you know, they don't have control over themselves. You know, I think it's an issue, though, that kind of goes to morality in the first place, and I guess we have a little bit of a difference in our understanding of who should legislate morality. I guess, I don't know where you draw the line, I guess, in regards to what is moral that we should legislate and what is moral that we should not legislate.
Well, it's pretty easy to know where to draw the line. You don't ever have government legislating morality in this sense because it's not going to work. But, Roy, I really appreciate the phone call. We wanted to talk about Wade Hampton and other things. I apologize to the listeners. We'll bring up Wade Hampton tomorrow. We've come up actually over the show closing. We're going to have to close Christian Worldview today. We appreciate
Thank
the call,
Roy.
And tomorrow, if you want to call in and we'll talk about the drug issue, you're going to be happy to do so. In fact, it's a great topic. We have a lot more we can say about it. Thanks for listening today to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope to see you again tomorrow.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN.
A bit more than 100 years ago, the Duke of Buckingham found himself teetering on the brink of bankruptcy when his tastes exceeded his means and his income was insufficient for his